Title: Using Convolution for Warehouse Spaces in Drum and Bass, Advanced Ableton Live Lesson. All right, let's build a warehouse. Not the coot big reverb kind. I mean that believable, concrete, industrial space that makes drum and bass feel heavier, wider, and more intimidating while your kick and snare still punch you in the chest at 174 BPM. In this lesson, we're going to use convolution, reverb inside Ableton Live, mainly through hybrid reverb and convolution mode, and we'll build three return tracks that each do a specific job. The big idea is simple. We don't smear everything. We create controlled spaces that perform with the arrangement. Here's the mindset that will keep you from washing out your mix. Early reflections equal size. The tail equals distance. In FastDNB, the warehouse impression is mostly early reflections. If your drums start feeling slow or blurry, don't panic and start eking the dry drums. First, reduce the tail level or shorten the decay on the reverb. Now, before we build anything, do a quick session prep. Group your drums into a drum bus. If you want to be extra organized, split into kick, snare, and tops groups. And make a promise to yourself right now. Keep your sub bass mostly dry. We will add space later in a safe way, but the true sub region is sacred in DNB. Protect it. Also, important workflow note. Convolution for this purpose lives on return tracks. Not inserted everywhere. Returns give you consistency, control, and easy automation. Cool. Let's build return A. The Warehouse Drum Room. Create a return track and name it Warehouse Drum Room. The chain order will be hybrid reverb, then EQ8, then a compressor that's sidechained, then utility. Open hybrid reverb and go convolution. Set dry/wet to 100% because it's a return. Now for a tight DNB room. Set decay around 0.7 to 1.3 seconds. Short, punchy. Then set pre-delay between 18 and 30 milliseconds. Start at 24 milliseconds. That pre-delay is your punch insurance. It creates separation between the transient and the space, so your snare still cracks instead of dissolving into reflections. For the impulse response, pick something like warehouse, large room, industrial, concrete. If you don't have a labeled warehouse IR, grab a large room and we'll turn it into a warehouse with filtering and a little dirt. If hybrid reverb gives you control over early reflections versus tail, nudge early reflections slightly louder than the tail. That's the realism trick. It says hard walls nearby without turning into a long, floaty wash. Now EQ8 after the reverb. This is where the mix gets saved. Start with a high-pass filter at around 160 to 250 Hz and make it steep, like 24 dB per octave. You are not being polite here. You are stopping the kick and sub from turning into fog. Then find the boxy zone and dip around 250 to 450 Hz by maybe 2 to 4 dB. Keep the Q medium, around 1.2-ish, so it's musical and not surgical. If your hats start spitting or your break gets harsh, dip a little around 2.5 to 5 kHz, 1 to 3 dB, and then low pass around 8 to 12 kHz to keep it warehouse air, not hiss. Next, sidechain compression on the return. Add Ableton's compressor. Turn on sidechain and feed it from your kick, or even better, a dedicated drum trigger track if you have one. Set ratio around 3 to 1. Attack between 5 and 15 milliseconds. That lets the initial room pop happen, and then the compressor tucks the tail out of the way. Release around 80 to 160 milliseconds, depending on the groove. Aim for 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. This makes the room breathe rhythmically, and that's how you keep DNB clarity while still getting size. Finally, utility. Set width somewhere between 120 and 160% if your mix can handle it. If your track is already wide, keep it closer to 100, and use utility gain as your final trim, maybe minus 1 to minus 3 dB, because returns can get loud faster than you think. Quick coach note, gain staging on convolution returns matters more than you expect. Snares can spike an IR in a way that feels random. Try to keep this return peaking conservatively, like minus 10 to minus 6 dBFS. Make your dry bus loud. Let the room be controlled. Your limiter will thank you. Now, sends. Starting point. Send your snare to return A at roughly minus 10 to minus 6 dB. Hats and tops around minus 18 to minus 12. Kick gets very little or none. If you want glue, maybe minus 24 to minus 18. Bass, usually off on this return. Nice. That's your believable warehouse drum room. Now return B. The warehouse slap. This is all about snare attitude. That concrete wall hit. Create another return. Name it warehouse slap. The chain order. Hybrid reverb, then gate, then EQ8, then saturator. Hybrid reverb, convolution again, 100% wet. Pick a hard surface, IR, small or medium room, stairwell, garage, tiled room, anything that screams reflective. Set decay around 0.25 to 0.55 seconds. Pre-delay between 8 and 18 milliseconds. Then put a gate right after the reverb. This is key. Set the threshold so the gate closes after the slap. Release somewhere between 60 and 140 milliseconds. Floor very low, basically shutting it off. The goal is impact, then done. No wash. EQ8 next. High pass around 200 to 350 Hz. If the snare needs more bite, you can add a tiny presence bump around 1.5 to 3 kHz, like 1 or 2 dB, and low pass around 7 to 10 kHz so it stays tough and not fizzy. Now saturator, drive around 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on. This is the concrete feeling. You're not trying to distort the snare itself. You're texturing the reflections. This return is mostly snare and clap, maybe a bit of rim or percussion. And here's a powerful DNB identity trick. Send the snare to both returns, I and P. Keep the drum room lower. Keep the slap higher. Big room plus wall hit. That's authority. Now return C. The rumble chamber. This is your dark atmosphere tool, but we're going to do it without destroying the low end. Create return C. Name it rumble chamber. Chain order. Hybrid reverb. EQ8. Optional glue compressor. Auto filter for motion. Then utility. In hybrid reverb, choose a large chamber. Concrete hall. Tunnel kind of IR. Decay longer, around 1.6 to 2.8 seconds. Pre-delay 25 to 45 milliseconds, so it sits behind the source instead of stepping on it. Wet 100%. Now EQ8, and be strict. High pass at 220 to 350 Hz, and yes, that high. Use a steep slope, 24 or 48 dB per octave. This is how you get dread without sub-chaos. Dip mud around 300 to 600 Hz by 2 to 5 dB. Low pass around 6 to 9 kHz for a darker vibe. Optional glue compressor next, just kissing it. Attack 10 ms, release auto or 0.3 seconds, 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This turns the reverb into a more even pad, less spiky. Auto filter after that for subtle movement. Low pass or band pass, rate synced, like 1/8 or 1/4. Keep the amount small. You want life, not wobble. Add a touch of drive if it feels too clean. Then utility for width and level trim. Send sources to this return. Percussion loops, ghost snares, Atmos, FX hits, impacts, reverse cymbals, moderate sends, bass not directly. We do bass the safe way, so let's talk bass reverb safely. Never send your sub into a big warehouse reverb and expect it to stay clean. Instead, split your bass into a bass group with two layers, a sub track, clean and mostly mono, and a mid bass track, like a reese or distorted layer. Only send the mid-bass to return C, or to a dedicated bass room if you want even more control. And here's the extra control trick. On the mid-bass track, before you even think about reverb sends, put an EQ8 and high pass around 150 to 250 Hz. Now the reverb never sees true low end. You get width and space on the character, without smearing the fundamentals. At this point, you've built three zones. Return A is tight realism and glue. Return B is snare slap and identity. Return C is long, dark atmosphere. Now we make it musical with arrangement moves. Reverb should perform with the track. Automate sends and key parameters. Automate the snare send to the slap return. Push it higher in the drop for energy. Pull it back in busy fill so you don't clutter. Automate the decay on the drum room. Slightly shorter in the drop so everything stays tight at 174. Slightly longer in the breakdown so it feels cinematic and big. Automate the rumble chamber send on FX hits. Big sends on impacts, reverse cymbals, vocal stabs, and then cut it suddenly right before the drop for tension. A classic move, on the last snare before the drop, crank the send into the long dark chamber for that one hit. Then on the downbeat of the drop, hard cut the return volume for one beat, then bring it back subtly. It creates a vacuum and then the drop slams harder. If you want to get extra advanced, you can even do a more musical vacuum. Instead of just muting, sweep a high pass up on the reverb return quickly to remove weight, then dip the return level right on the downbeat. It feels like the air got sucked out without sounding like you hit a mute button. Now let's lock the space to the tempo, advanced optional. If your convolution tail feels random against fast drums, put a gate after the convolution on return A or C, and key it with a ghost pattern, not necessarily the kick. This is important. You can sidechain the gate using a muted short click track playing 1/8 or 1/16. Now the reverb pulses rhythmically in a controlled way, without that obvious compressor pumping. This is especially nasty on jungle breaks and rolling percussion. Quick extra coach notes before we wrap. Treat impulse responses like samples. Some IRs have a little silence or ramp before the first reflection. That can steal punch. If hybrid reverb allows you to adjust the start or envelope, tighten it. If not, you can clamp the pre-roll with a very fast gate early in the chain. Cleaner onset equals punchier drums. Also, keep the center clean and let the room live on the sides. Map utility width on your returns so you can adjust quickly. If your hats smear in mono, reduce return width and compensate on the dry hats with a tiny high shelf, instead of widening the reverb again. And if you want next level character, try distorting the reverb, not the dry. Saturator or overdrive after convolution, then EQ out any harshness it creates, often in that 3-7 kHz band. You can even add a super subtle corpus after the reverb for a material tone. Tune it to the root or fifth, high pass into it so it mostly reacts to snare and tops, and keep it quiet. You're adding a concrete signature, not an obvious ringing effect. Now, mini practice exercise. This is where you lock it in. Load a rolling drum loop, like a break plus a two-step layer, and a Reese mid-bass. Build return exactly as described. Send snare at minus 8 dB, hats at minus 14. Build return B and send snare at minus 7 dB. Now a slash B, test the pre-delay on return A, set it to 0 milliseconds, then switch to 24 milliseconds. Listen carefully. At 0, the snare will smear into the room. At 24, the snare regains crack while still sounding like it's in a space. Then do a simple arrangement automation. In the last bar before the drop, increase return C, send on a crash or impact. At the drop, cut return C, return volume to negative infinity for one beat, then bring it back subtly. Bounce 8 bars, 4 before the drop and 4 in the drop. Your goal is break down huge, drop tight. Common mistakes to avoid as you do this. Too much low end in the reverb equals mud and a weak kick. Fix it with a high pass, often higher than you think. No pre-delay equals loss of crack and punch. Add it. Reverb on everything equals wash. Focus sends on snare, tops, and effects. Keep sub dry. Wide reverb and low mids can cause facey mess. Reduce width or use M/SAQ where the mid is cleaner than the sides. Long decay in the drop causes flamming at 174. Shorten decay or gate it. And here's your homework challenge, advanced. This audio version is shortened for playback.